topic is on delegation. I think, like you, myself, I'm a small business owner. You're a small business owner, and a lot of times we get into the habit of doing everything. And even when we have staff, as we have over 60 employees here at Member Solutions who work hard and do a phenomenal job. And the delegation is not just about the owner of the business, but it's also about the managers and the staff and everyone utilizing everyone's skills and strengths to have the best results for the business. So we'll do, we'll be talking a little bit more about the owner today, but this really translates over to all of your staff as well. And I thought we'd get started with just, talking about the reasons why we should delegate. There are so many positive things that come out of it. Customers will enjoy better quality of service. If delegation is done properly, the business will be more efficient. You'll reach your business goals faster and more easily. That certainly leads to you obtaining your personal financial goals as well. You'll enjoy a less stressful work environment for yourself, for your staff. You'll be able to get away from your business and enjoy vacations and holidays and things that, I think a lot of us have our own business because we'd like to enjoy, the time that we're away from it. And sometimes that's very difficult. I know for myself, it's hard for me to leave without my laptop. I feel a need to stay connected. And I have great staff. They do tremendous work, and they allow me to have an enjoyable time while I'm away. But as an owner, I'm of the personality type that I feel I need to stay connected, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You'll have even more time for your business. So it's not so much about freedom for vacation and having, personal time with family. That's phenomenal and a great motivator to delegate. But it's also about having more time in your business to do the things that an owner needs to do to grow the business. That's just as important. You'll be able to boost your staff morale and show them that you have confidence in them and doing a great job. And for many people, delegation means that they can actually get rid of the things they don't like to do and focus on the stuff they love most. Now, I know that many of you out there use us as a billing service because you like to teach, and that's great. And some owners have multiple schools, and they've gotten away from teaching the classes, and they're running the business on a much higher level. But some guys, really miss that teaching, and if they delegate properly, they get in there and teach the advanced classes or the beginners, whatever your particular love is, you should definitely try to gravitate your life and your work style to doing the things that you're excited about when you wake up in the morning. And some of those things may not be owner things, but if you delegate properly, you can tap into those other things too if you really enjoy doing them. And as a martial arts school owner or health club or whatever business you own, and a lot of times there's even combinations within one, our business has a tremendous effect on our community, and that's very motivating. So the more successful you are, the more successful you will be for your community as well. And one of the things that I found, too, has been a bit of a reward is that when you can get rid of the things that, just things that should be delegated, things that really tie you down day to day, if you get rid of those things, you can really open your creative mind, and you'd be surprised at how many great ideas are popping up into your head on a daily basis. So if you can just get some time to think, I'm sure everybody knows out there that that's really important as an owner. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to go through, with all these good things we know we can get, it's very rare you run into someone who says, yeah, delegation is bad. Everyone knows delegation is good. There's even a longer list than things I've talked about already. But there are certainly things that prevent us from delegating. We should review those. If you've read the article that I wrote in MA Success, this will be all familiar to you, but I want to run through it for those who haven't real quick, and then we'll get into the meat of the seminar today, and that is what steps do we need to take and how do we actually go about delegating. But we need to also understand what's limiting us. Well, I like to think that there are some general myths that we have as business owners that can sometimes get in the way. And these are even myths for our employees. How often have you said or heard someone say that there aren't enough hours in the day? And I'm guilty of this one myself. But the reality is there are 24 hours in a day, and most of us need somewhere between, 6 and 8 hours of sleep. So that, at minimum, is going to leave 16 hours to work, to have food, to exercise, to have family time. It seems like there is plenty of hours, but why does it seem like there aren't enough? So we'll understand that in a little bit. If you want something done right, you can have someone else do it. Often we feel that we're the best person to do a specific task, and we get bogged down in, well, I want it done a certain way, and I'm just going to do it myself. So that's something that we need to overcome. And then there are people that really take pride in the amount of work that they do. I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the myth that we must get through is that you don't have to work 24/7 to be successful, that you can surround yourself with good people and good organizations and work hard. Hey, no one's, I'm certainly not suggesting you should work 6 hours a day. If you love to work and 10 hours a day is great for you, you should do it. That still leaves you with 6 hours to do so many other things with your time. So we just need to know that we don't have to work 24/7 to be successful. You can have other people do things and have it done the way that you would like it done, and then there's plenty of time to do it. So accepting these beliefs is obviously easier said than done, and there are things that come up in our life that limits us. So let's talk about a few of them. There is definitely amongst owners the feeling of, well, I am the business. For some of you out there, you might be the only person in your school running things, and it's really hard to imagine other people involved. Others might have instructors. You might have program directors. But there's this feeling of, without me, there is no business. And if you take, I like to break owners down into a few different classifications. There's entrepreneurs, there's doers, and there's managers. And these are three distinctive types of people. If you're an entrepreneur, you're into creating. An entrepreneur is likely to have multiple schools. An entrepreneur is likely to create new programs a lot in their school. They're probably someone who is putting out new programs for the students, trying new things, because they love the creativity. They like to take, say, the martial arts and mold it and keep it fresh and exciting and new, and that's what makes them excited to work in their business. And if they were to teach the same thing year after year, it would be very, very difficult for them. And you have managers. Managers are people that like to manage a system, manage people, work with students to help them progress. And then there are doers. Hey, I just love to teach. So, I open a school, and this is a way for me to kind of do what I love. I have my own business. I'm teaching all my classes. I'm doing all the marketing. I'm doing attendance calls and you name it, and they enjoy it. So it's hard, even harder for someone who's a doer to really find a way to delegate, because they almost feel like they're giving up something that they love. And I know that's probably true for many of you on the line, that, wow, you really enjoy all this stuff, but, man, your school has grown because you put all this time and energy into it, but now it's kind of out of control. And it's harder to do it all. So we'll definitely talk about how to kind of get things back in control. But the most important thing here is to understand that there are different types of people who are owning the business, and it's going to be a lot easier for an entrepreneur or a manager to delegate than it is for someone who is classified as a doer, wants to get in there and be technical and take care of everything. If you're a control-oriented personality, that's really a stumbling block. If you feel like you must do it all, that's going to be something that's going to prevent. Fear. People are afraid to delegate, and there's many good, legitimate reasons for that. People feel, well, hey, if I delegate, what if it's not done as well as I've been doing it? I might lose my members. If I'm not the one doing the books, I might miss something. You know, somebody might miss something which might, you know, lead to a catastrophe in my business. So there are all sorts of reasons to be afraid, and afraid is a very normal reaction to delegation. And when we get into how to delegate, I think the fear gets peeled off. But it is something that is legitimate. It's not something to feel weird about in any way. People work hard all their, you know, all their lives to get to where they are. You've learned your style. You've gotten yourself into a certain position in your business. And, you know, you don't want to lose that. And that's a very limiting factor. You have a reputation that you've developed. These are all things that definitely put concern. I mentioned a little bit before that there's kind of a pride in doing all the work. When you have your own business, in particular, this is more for the owners. When you have your own business, you almost feel a little guilty if you're not given 150%. So it's kind of hard to scale back, and we just need to recognize the fact that if we're feeling that, that is something that is limiting us from delegating to organizations or people. It is that desire of, wow, it makes me feel good to work 15 hours. I'm putting all this into my business because it's my business. And that's something that's you know, very, very true amongst a lot of small business owners. This kind of goes back to this next one here is about, you know, having an ego. Martial artists, you know, we know it. We have huge egos, and it's hard to imagine someone else teaching a class just as good as you or teaching an introductory lesson just as good as you can do it. And it's something that, unfortunately, gets in the way of having an owner delegate. I'm going to show you how to turn that around and let your ego work for you. So for right now, just know that your ego can limit you from relinquishing that control. This is a real tough one here. I need it right now. You have something that, a project that's pressing, and you decide, well, hey, I'm going to do it myself, because if I do it, it's a fact. In 30 minutes, it's going to be done, and I'll have what I need. If I have to go show someone else to do it, it's going to take me an hour to show them how to do it, and it's going to take them maybe 45 minutes to get it done. Now I'm looking 2 hours before I get it. I can't spare the time I got to do it. And that's a very, very popular reason that people don't delegate, is because they feel they need it now. And what we want to get to the point is, hey, if we make that investment now, we'll never have to do it again. So now you're saving, you might have spent 2 hours up front instead of the half an hour today, but you'll save a half an hour 20, 30, 40 times, and that adds up to be where it pays you dividends. And then in particular, it's really hard when you have staff. You know, hey, I have staff. I'm giving them stuff to do. And I just want to be careful there, because just having staff doesn't mean that you're delegating. It could mean that you're just giving them stuff to do. And that basically is known as dumping. Delegating is empowering someone in your business so the business can be successful. So let's stop there for a minute. I want to, you know, I'm not interviewing someone today, so I'll take quick breaks here and there to look to see if there's any questions that are being posted on the web. I also want to give, it's been pretty quiet in the background there, so I don't think anyone's on mute. So certainly if you have any questions on the phone, you know, feel free to ask. Is everybody clear as to what we've discussed so far?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, let's talk about how to delegate. You know, what steps should we take? How do we actually get from where we are today to where we want to be tomorrow? And this is a bit of a process. I recommend if you're typing on your computer, that's great. You may want to just get out paper and pencil, and we'll start writing down these steps. The first thing you need to do is you need to identify every single task, large or small, that's required to operate your business. And I'm talking detail. From opening your school, you know, if you have an alarm on your school, turning that off, checking your phone messages, ordering supplies, teaching classes, and I'd even break down the classes, you know, beginner, intermediate, advanced, weapons class, forms, whatever the case may be, reviewing your leads, running staff meetings. If anyone on the phone wants to throw in a couple, you know, what are some of the things that you guys are doing out there? Making bank deposits, paying bills, cleaning the school, coming to webinars like this, traveling to a seminar, reviewing your stats. I mean, the list is really big. Getting your marketing strategy together, creating an ad, placing the ad. Huge, huge list. And the best way to do it is if you're a single person in your school, you're the only person, literally write down as you go through your entire week, because your Monday might be different than your Tuesday. No matter how small the task is, write it down. If you have staff, then take this project with them. Say, okay, look, we're going to do this thing for a week. We're going to write down every single thing that we're doing. And again, here's that we're making a little bit of an investment up front. This is going to be a little time consuming. But you've got to get the list, every single thing that's required to run your business. That's the first step. Second step is to categorize each of these things that you've written down under a few headings. Your headings could be different than mine. I'm going to tell you what I recommend, and this is really for a martial arts location. A health club would be different, but generally for membership-based businesses, some of these are generally the same. Basically, you know, owner, manager, head instructor, staff instructor, general staff, entry-level staff, and outside contractor. Okay? You might have a few you'd like to add, or you may want to combine. That's okay. Try to stay a little bit consistent with what I gave you. And understand that what we're going to do here is we're going to take each item and we're going to put it under these categories. So something like teaching beginner students, you know, you might have that as your head instructor or your staff instructor. Just put it down to where you think it would be for your business. Who's doing the introductory lessons for your school? Are you doing them, or is it something that your staff instructor does, your head instructor? Who's cleaning the bathrooms? You know, is that something that you have an entry-level staff doing? Do you have an outside contractor come in and take care of that once a week for you? Okay. Think about it from the terms of where should it go? Not necessarily what you're doing, but where should it go? You know, it would be okay to have staff or entry-level staff if they're, you know, if that's part of the job description to keep the school looking clean. It's certainly not the owner's job. You know, if you're the only person in your school, you're going to want to have an outside contract to come in and do that for you. That's where it should be. Okay. This categorizing, it's kind of a fun thing to do once you have your list, which I think is the hard part, is writing down every single thing. Then you get them categorized. The next step I kind of call the enlightening step, because now you're going to look at the stuff you're doing and see how many things that you're doing don't fall under the owner category. And that's where you realize, wow, I'm spending way too much of my time on low-level tasks. I'm spending too many actions that don't really drive the business success and growth. And make no mistake, the owner, the manager, and the head instructor, I mean, those are critical things for the business. That's where the decisions are going to be made. That's going to be the quality of your classes. It's going to be the marketing that's being put forth for your school, the messaging, the branding. I mean, these are critical key items of the business, and if you're not spending your time on those, it's obviously going to hurt the business. So once you go through this process, you will see, wow, I need to shift. I need to go from doing tasks in these groups, and I need to start moving up. You're not going to be able to do this overnight. Don't expect to say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be, you know, an expert delegator. This identifying all the tasks, it's probably going to take you a week. You can, you know, spend time over the weekend to categorize, and that should be pretty quick. Reviewing it, also, that's going to be pretty quick as to, wow, I need to make some changes. Now the real work is going to begin. Now it's, how are we going to start delegating? What's the process here? There are three different ways that you can delegate, and it all stems from systematizing. And I know you've heard that. You've come to our webinars. You've heard our speakers talk about creating systems. Systems is absolutely critical. A good system can be replicated by someone else. So the way that you're doing it, the way that you believe it should be done for your business, that's a very important thing to get down on paper so that someone can follow it and produce the same result. Okay, so the first way is documenting your procedure. If you have a procedure, opening, you know, putting the key in a lock, turning it, opening the door, going in, punching in the code, checking messages, and you have this, like, this is how I open my business every day, that should be a very detailed process. And it should be down. This is how we do it at our school. So that if you were doing it all the time, but you hired someone, you'd be able to show them a document that says, hey, this is how we open the business for the day. Take them through it, and they should be able to replicate it exactly the way that you would do it. Okay? That's going to take time because you have to document everything. It's really important. Many people don't have their systems documented. The second way to take care of this is to use someone else's documented system. That's quicker. You can go and buy a ton of different programs. I know we sell a bunch of them through our reward store. I always like to use Tommy Lee because he's a buddy of mine, and his program's been out for a really long time, and it's still as valuable today as it was when he first came out, his step-by-step sales system. You know, here's a documented way of how selling takes place at Tommy Lee School. So when he hires staff, he goes to his system and says, this is how we do it here. Okay? So that's just an example where you could buy that, and now you have a sales system. And with practice and everybody getting trained on it, everyone should produce very similar results because everyone will be talking the same language. And the third method, we know that you guys do that because we're your billing company, but it's, you know, contracting with an outside agency. By using us, you basically are using our documented system and our staff to do the work. That's what I mean by outside contractors. And there's tons of examples where using an outside contractor or buying something, replicating what someone else is doing, is far more productive than reinventing the wheel. But there are going to be very specific things in your school where what you create, that's, you know, that's it. That's your brand. That's your school. That's your company. It's your business. You can't buy that or get that from anyone else. It's you and what you do. But it starts with systematizing it and documenting it. If you give someone a task to do and not show them how to do it, you're dumping. That's not delegating. That's something real important to keep in mind. The next section is, all right, well, remember that big list you made me do, Joe? Well, there's a ton of stuff there. Where do I start? Well, I would like to give you two pieces of advice. The first one is look for time-consuming projects. You know, pick one that just takes a tremendous amount of time, you know, isn't something that really is critical that you do it, and start with that. It would be good practice to document something that's time-consuming, because if it's taking you a lot of time, it's probably very involved, and it'll give you good practice to documenting other things as well. So that's the first one. The second one is look for recurring tasks. The thing that's nice about a recurring task is that once you delegate that, once you document it and delegate it, now the benefit is recurring. Every time that that happens, someone else is going to be responsible to make that happen. So you're going to be saving hours and hours and hours and hours of time and energy for your staff. I mean, depending on who's doing those specific tasks. Once you get those, you'll start creating time. You'll start to see that now, wow, I have more time than I used to have. Start with the stuff, as you know, if you're looking at the owners all the way on the far left and entry-level staff is far right, start picking things from the far right and be moving to the left. When you eliminate items from the far right column, go to the next column, okay? When you're looking at the time-consuming project, obviously you're trying to pull from the right side. When you're looking for the recurring, you're looking for the right side. You don't want to give up, you know, something in the middle and still have five things on the entry-level staff that you're doing. So you definitely want to gravitate from right to left, and you want to look for recurring, time-consuming projects, things that are going to give you some reward. You've already done a lot of work by going through this whole process. Now you want to get something immediately back. Now this next section is really important. And before I go there, let me just see if anyone has any questions on the phone. Anybody have any questions regarding what we've covered to this point? Okay. Wow, I guess I must be covering everything pretty well for you guys. All right. The next section is extremely important, because after you go through all this work, you've identified everything, you know that you should delegate, you're paying attention to the things that might pop up that prevent you from delegating. So even when you're going through this process and you're going to start doing it, you got to remember, hey, you know, I'm a control-oriented person. This is going to be a challenge for me. Just know that you're a control-oriented person and document in that manner. Use your control-oriented skills and make the best system in a documented form that you can. We talked about ego and making that work for you. Well, if you're that good, then you should be able to teach someone else to do what you're doing. That's the way that I think about it. You know, if you're a great instructor, then you should be able to teach other people to be great instructors, maybe even better than you. And you got to use that ego to make that work for you. Okay? Take pride in seeing your company operate by your guidance. Don't feel guilty that, geez, you only worked 8 hours that day, or you took a day off. One of the things that our staff had mentioned to me when we were doing our business boot camp in the Philly area back on February the 20th, we made a ton of phone calls to clients, especially in that region, because we knew that it would be a lot easier for people to, you know, hop in a car and come. So we made phone calls. And what I heard from our staff was, you know, people who said they couldn't come because they couldn't get away from their school for the day. I mean, this was a one-day educational opportunity. And I absolutely know that if a client came to that event, I mean, they would have come back with such knowledge and ideas and opportunity to grow their business, but instead they chose to stay in the school because they felt that that was more valuable than going to the seminar, which, you know, that doesn't make any sense. But it comes from, I can't get away from the business because I'm the one who's running the business. So now, an owner who should have been at a seminar learning what is required to improve their business, they weren't able to come. And, you know, I know the people that came had a phenomenal time, got a lot out of the event, and I feel bad when I know other people couldn't have gotten that same information. We have the largest martial arts trade show coming up, and although it's not my preferred time of year, July 5th, 6th, and 7th, it is a time where attendance at the school is reduced. It's a good time to potentially even close the school that week and have you and the staff come for a learning opportunity. These things can't happen unless you have a really good delegation system in your school. Let's talk about the final step here, which, unless it's done properly, the whole thing falls apart. And I'll explain why. There are some rules to let you know that you're delegating right. You can do all these things right. You can identify the task, categorize, get everything perfect. See right there, hey, I'm doing stuff that's on the right side of this chart. I've created systems. I've made some decisions there, took action. And then you get to this part, and this is where you can get into some danger. The first thing is, for each thing that you delegate, ask yourself this. Did you give responsibility to the person, or in our case, the organization, for performing the task? The way you can check to whether you did that or not is, are they responsible for the results? Right? If I give you a task to do and the task doesn't go that well, can I really say that you are responsible for the results that are subpar? I can if I gave you authority with that responsibility. And what do I mean by that? Did I give you the latitude to make decisions? Did I allow you to use your judgment? And if necessary, spend some money. Did I give you the tools to overcome obstacles and challenges? Or do you have to come back to me for direction, for questions? Now, don't confuse this part with training and helping and giving them everything they need to do a great job. But unless you give someone authority with that responsibility, it's not delegating. They're going to come back to you. And what often happens, you find yourself doing it again, which is the ultimate failure on delegating. You've given it to someone, and then all of a sudden you go, how did I get this back? So you want to avoid that, and the only way to do so is when you give that responsibility, you say, hey, here's our system. Here it is, step by step. This is how we do it at the school. I'm going to take you through it, train you how to do it. Okay? Here are some of the obstacles and challenges. We've identified them, but, you know, you might uncover other obstacles and challenges that we haven't discussed. But here's how we've dealt with these other ones. I want you to make the decision when something doesn't go according to plan. But understand, this is how we've made decisions in the past. Give them the authority. Hey, you have a budget of $500 on this. So if you need to make this happen and it's going to cost you, you know, a few hundred bucks, I'm going to give you the authority to go spend it. If it's over $500, I want you to come talk to me. That's okay. All right? But it's very important to give them the authority. If they don't have the authority, they're not going to feel like it's their task. And it's not going to feel like it's their responsibility. They're going to always feel it's your responsibility. Now, a true test to make sure you've done that right is, are you requiring accountability? So as an example to that might be, this is going to be due next Friday. I expect you to have this for me next Friday with the answers to these questions. Or, hey, you're going to run this event. I need you to have your registration form completed. I need, you know, the A, B, and C. Here's how we run an event. I need this by this date, this by this date, and this by this date. I want you to report back to me on these times and let me know your progress. They know that they're accountable, you've given them measurements. I expect you to reach out to 30 people this week on this matter. You know, give them a measurement. If you can honestly tell someone, hey, you did a great job on this, they will feel that empowerment from you if they were once truly responsible for making it happen. Okay, I'm going to review that again because I think it's so important. You do everything else perfectly, and this is where we get hung up. You have to give them responsibility for the task, give them some latitude to make decisions regarding that task, let them own the task, and then make sure they own the results by making them accountable at the end. So if the results are great, they should know that they produce them, and you can acknowledge them and reward them. Or if it didn't work out too well, there has to be some repercussion. You know, could you reprimand them if the results aren't good? You may do so tactfully, and you may do so in a good way, but unless you could do so, and the results are bad, and you feel partly responsible, that's where you can run into trouble. And the important thing to know, and you know, this is a relatively quick synopsis of delegating. I wanted to give you guys some step-by-step rules that you can follow to at least get yourself on the right track. Each business is going to be different. And again, my rules are a little different. I believe that if you have your own business, you should be doing things that you love too. You know, some people love to have a business because they just love to have a business and own and run the business, and that's great. Not everybody's like that. A lot of martial arts school owners are out there. They have their own business because they love to teach. And I think you should teach, but it's who are you teaching? And are you teaching the appropriate people to expand your school and to prepare yourself to be able to take vacation with your family? You know, if you're a young person and you're starting out, you know, eventually you're probably going to be married. You're going to have your family, you have your kids. Don't wait till then. Start now. And there's no bad time to start delegating. If you have 300 students in your school and you're kind of crazy, it's going to be harder for you, but you can start small. The process could take 3-6 months, okay? I mean, that's one of the things that prevents people from delegating. We talked about that earlier, that there's that investment in time to making this all happen for you. And until you can say, hey, I'm going to do it, it's not going to happen. And you got to take it one step at a time. Don't get frustrated. Start small. If you're having trouble, scale back. Take something even smaller. Once you get in the habit, future tasks that you delegate become easier and easier. Okay, and it's so important. Go through the steps. I am happy to help anyone with this. If you get your list and you want to show them to me, you run into a spot and you're like, you know, where should this go? What do I? By all means, send me an email. My email is joe@membersolutions.com. Love to hear from you. Love to help. I speak to 2 to 3 clients every day. Fortunately and unfortunately, we have a tremendous amount of clients. So I don't get to talk with everyone in our membership as quickly as I'd want. I mean, I think I calculated out if I talked to 2 to 3 people, it would take 2 years to talk to everybody. And that's a shame because I really like to know everyone and talk with everyone. I always invite you, email me, call in. I'll give you my direct number. I warn you that you'll probably get voicemail because I'm in meetings and on the phone pretty often. But my direct number is 267-287-1129. But just leave me a message and just let me know what your schedule is so I can look at my calendar and I'll be happy to give you a call back and we can talk about this or anything about your business. I really enjoy that part of what I do, and that's part of my delegation, is that I work hard to have this time every day to work with clients because it's my most favorite thing to do. But there are still things that I have to be reminded. I have a great staff person in our company that's probably on this call now, and she has to remind me. She's like, I can do that for you. And I'm like, oh, okay, right. And so, you know, it happens to everyone. You have to have people helping you, right? Let them know, let your staff know, hey, in order for our business to be successful, these are the things that I need to do on the business. If you see me starting to do the things that you think you should do, well, help the business and remind me. Say, hey, let me do that. That's my job. And if you get your team on board and everyone's thinking about delegating, you know, this isn't a secret. This isn't just for owners only. This is for everybody. Help your staff delegate. Maybe there are things that your staff is doing that they shouldn't be doing. Right? You know, our sales team tries to explain that to school owners that don't use a billing company. Oh, my staff does it. Yeah, well, your staff shouldn't be doing that. There's so many more things your staff could be doing. Right? You guys get that because you use us. But other people don't understand that, and they have to learn. But it's like that, you know, there are probably things in your business that you haven't delegated that you could get another company involved to help you out. So, you know, be open-minded. Think about the benefits that you bring, that your staff brings to the company. And if you work together as a group and reinforce and support each other, you know, I think you can do some amazing things with the business. Even if you're successful now, I think even if you didn't grow by a single student, you'd have a dramatically less stress filled life. Your staff will be less stressed. You'll keep your employees longer. That'll translate to better retention, and it's definitely a filtering down impact. Okay? So that's all I have for today. I hope that I've gotten you guys on the right track. I'll take some questions. I'm going to check the web to see if there's any questions from our web visitors, but certainly on the phone, if you have anything you'd like to ask, please go ahead right now.
Joe.
Hi.
Mark Godostick here in Oregon.
Hey, my Star Wars buddy.
Yeah, I know it. Hey, how do you get over delegating to somebody who is volunteer? You know, I know I have a bunch of assistants here. I have a hard time delegating to somebody who's, you know, something like a bathroom duty or just some of the small tasks to people who I don't pay. They volunteer and to teach.
Oh, that's a great question, and especially back in the day when I was active in a school and a student and a program director and an intro instructor, and we did a whole bunch of things at the school, where we didn't get paid for it. I always think, you know, if someone's volunteering, they're volunteering to do something, and you probably just need to understand what it is that makes them in that giving mode. Like, what is it that they want to do? And limit the volunteering to that. You know, if they're saying, hey, I'll help you with anything, you say, well, you know, let me go through a list of things that we have here to do that if you contributed would be great. So if you are a little uncomfortable about asking them about bathroom duty, have bathroom duty on the list, okay? If they're comfortable with it, they'll say, hey, I'll do the bathrooms for you. You know, I mean, as a volunteer, you know, that's the courtesy you need to give them. They're giving their time. They're motivated to do so for a reason, and they need to be fulfilled in helping you. So when they're done helping, they feel that they've gotten something out of that, you know, probably making them feel good. I mean, why do people volunteer? Because it makes them feel good to help someone. So if helping you means, you know, cleaning the sink and toilet, then they'll pick that. They'll say, hey, you know, this is probably something he has a hard time getting. Hey, I'll do your bathrooms for you. You know, I mean, that's the way that I would go about it. If you end up with that as the last thing on the list, you know, unless you're going to use Jedi mind trick, I'd just get someone paid to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you, sir.
Hey, you're welcome. And I'll see you in August. I already booked my room.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I'm trying to find a new outfit for it.
Oh, my kids are already talking about it, so we're looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Super.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. It looks like it was pretty comprehensive. Certainly, if you would like to send me an email, I'd be happy to answer your questions that way, too. And if you would like to speak about anything in particular, we can certainly set up a time to talk. Be happy to help. I want to thank everyone for coming out and joining and participating today. I really feel that this delegating is, a skill that is very underrated in the small business world. In the big corporate world, their structure is already set up for that. They may not do it well, but it's set up for that. In the small business world, it starts off usually with one, two, or three people starting a business, and, delegating isn't a natural thing because you have to start giving up tasks, and that happens when the business starts to grow, and hey, when is a good time to do it? A good time to do it is the minute you start your business. Get on the right track of documenting your systems and moving forward from there. So, again, thank you very much for coming out and spending some time with me today. I look forward to hearing from you and hope to see you at the Super Show. Have a great day, everybody.